Hey, welcome back to Deeper Than Dough. Today I'm chatting with Justin Egan, co-founder of Wing It On. This episode is packed with value. Justin shares his journey from marketing and entrepreneurship to building an award-winning wing brand. We dive into everything from the origin of Buffalo Wings to the ins and outs of franchising with Wing It On, including what it takes to succeed as a franchise owner and the amazing support they offer. If you ever thought about what it's like to own your own wing business or just want to hear about a killer brand vision, this one's for you. And hey, if you're enjoying the podcast, don't forget to like and subscribe. Welcome to another episode of the Deeper the Dough podcast. Today, I'm super excited to have Justin Egan on the show. Justin, welcome.
Thank you, Bennett. So happy to be here. This is great.
Justin, I had a great time with you in Houston two weeks ago, and I made Jake, the other salesperson, really jealous. I was like, dude, we had a great time.
Oh, you're selling it hardcore. He's like, I want in on the next one.
Yeah, the sales trip. So a quick background to Justin. One of the co-founders of Wing It On, which is a Craveworthy brand. Craveworthy is the company that also bought Dirty Dough. So now me and Justin are under the Craveworthy portfolio, which is super exciting. So today, though, we're talking about the Wing It On. Justin, can we start a little bit about your background and how you got involved in Wing It On?
Oh, heck yeah. I think as I, you know, talk more about like my background, it becomes clear like I'm more of a creative force. You know, my God-given talent, so to speak, was all in talented art. I never really followed my passions there. Like when I was young, I always knew I wanted to get into marketing though and kind of use my skills somehow. So I actually spent a lot of time in corporate America. I live in Hartford. We're wedged right between New York and Boston. So a lot of people work in the insurance industry around here. So that's where I kind of got my start, kind of moved my way up as much as I could, got into marketing, tried different jobs, ended up doing brand management for one of the bigger insurance companies around here. So I kind of like used my skills and my passions in my career, which I was really good at, but I always had this entrepreneurial vein running through me to do my own thing, something driving me to like get out, try something else, do something else, even if it was just on the side. I didn't even care, like a side hustle. So I ended up starting my own web design business with a partner of mine and Matt and Sarah, who is my co-founder. He ended up hiring my web company to design the logo and website for his first business that he had with his dad, which was a school supply distributing company. And we did that. Fast forward a few years later, he ends up selling that company and he's going to do his next thing, which is a wing restaurant, right? He was amazing at making wings. All his friends told him, like, your sauces are amazing. Why are we going, you know, 20 minutes down the road to the great wing shops where you could just make them for us here and they're fresh and crispy and hot? So that catapulted him into, you know, a new business plan, a new venture, right? A new exciting thing, which was a wing shop in his hometown. He hired us back for the branding, the logo, and all that kind of stuff. So I said, yeah, let's do it. I'll design your logo and come up with your name for like $500 in free wings for life.
Is that the logo on your hat right now?
The original logo. This is actually the redesigned, more modernized logo, which we could talk a little bit about.
Okay. I will get into that because I didn't know about that. So everybody loves wings though. I love wings. That's my go-to anytime I go. Really, I would eat when I'm like, crap, what am I going to eat that is not terrible for me? And I don't know, maybe I'm not wings, pure protein and some good fats for me. I'm like, heck yeah. But with that, you know, wings are extremely popular. So can you talk to me about how Wing It On is fitting into the giant wing space and what are you guys doing differently, than competitors such as a Wingstop?
Oh, I mean, there's so much that we do differently because we obsess over this stuff. Like you thought you're a wing fan, like we're obsessed. You know, it's not just the wing. It's like the size of the wing, the temperature of the oil, the type of the oil, how long do you cook it for? You know, what's the optimal crisp level? Like we're trying to recreate that authentic buffalo wing experience, which a lot of people don't know. Real buffalo wings from Buffalo, New York, you know, they're not breaded. They're just fresh. You know, cooked extra crispy. The sauces that go on top of them have real butter, real hot sauce, real authentic spices that, you know, give it that flavor profile, that heat level. And then the third piece, which is the dipping sauces, right? Ranch, blue cheese, like there's no preservatives, there's no junk, there's nothing in Wing It On. So like we're really proud to say that we're bringing that epic quality experience to those people who are like yourself looking for wings, but want to get them quick, but don't want to wait, you know, 20, 30 minutes to get a table at a tavern. Bring them home to your friends and buddies and tailgate parties. So that's what we do.
Awesome. And tell me, okay, I confess to you that I didn't know buffalo wings came from Buffalo, New York until yesterday, until 31 years old. And that was because I was learning about the Wing It On story of having the top rated buffalo sauce in the entire freaking country. So talk to me about that. And also, if you want to tell me, I mean, where'd the buffalo wing even come from?
Yes. So the Bellissimo family in Buffalo, New York, they were the original owners of the Anchor Bar. And the legend goes that one day their kids came in with like a whole bunch of folks, and like it was like right at closing time, and they were running out of stuff, but they wanted to serve their guests. So they had some extra parts of the chicken. Back in the 60s, it was like throwaway pieces, something you just used to make chicken stock. You know, they ended up just deep frying them and throwing what they had on them to savor them up, and it was like an instant hit. So that's like the birth of the buffalo wing, right? Real hot sauce, Frank's Red Hot, real butter, you know, and a specific blend of spices. But I think for us, the obsession with the buffalo wing came from my partner, Matt. Like, he's a culinary guy. He loves to tinker around with flavors, and he came up with all the recipes for the flavor, but he did a lot of research. I'm kind of jealous. Mm-hmm. I wish I was in on when he was doing all that research, because they went to Buffalo many times. They did the entire, you know, wing tours, which is a thing, like from tourism. You can go there, try all the wings from all the best spots. They took notes. They recreated the recipes as best they could. Not so bad. But yeah, so that was the inspiration for why we thought, hey, we could do this. We could bring that quality wing to people.
Now walk me through how did you guys win best buffalo sauce in America?
When you are a restaurant participating in the Wing Fest. So every year they have a big National Buffalo Wing Festival in Buffalo, New York. We got invited, to go, and be in their restaurant row the first year that we were the sponsor of the National Buffalo Wing Festival, the championship eating contest that they have every year. Mm-hmm. But you can enter in your sauces. If you're there as a restaurant serving your sauces to all the fairgoers, like, you can enter them into the blind taste test. And we did that. We entered our traditional medium into the taste test contest, and we won first place. So we were up against Anchor Bar, other legendary buffalo restaurants, plus all restaurants from all over the world. Like, this is the mecca of the wing. People come from all over the country to enter into these contests and take the hardware.
Is it fair to say that this is the largest wing contest of the world then, rather than United States?
Yes, it's probably fair to say that.
All right, then we're saying you are the winner of the world, world, man. So you guys won that, and then that was your medium sauce, and then you won it again, and then you competed a third time, but you said, hey, I'm going to try my luck with a different flavor. How did that one go?
So for the third year in a row, we took home a number one tasting buffalo sauce in the country. The first 2 years was the traditional medium, which is the one award that everybody wants to win, because the traditional medium is like the recipe that pays homage to Teresa Bellissimo at the Anchor Bar and her initial invention. The third year, we won for our extra hot. So our Wings of Prey is like our hottest sauce on the menu, and we wanted to enter that category. We took home best tasting extra hot.
Awesome. Now that you have the product, then you have to have the processes. I mean, I'm just trying to think about me trying to start businesses. You know, there's so much into it if you're really starting from scratch, the branding, the product, and all of that. Once you guys kind of had that figured out, when did you decide to franchise? And anyways, yeah, when did Wing It On start franchising? And what was the catalyst to say, hey, we have you have a corporate store or two, let's offer this to other people?
Great, great, great question, because I love answering this, because it's like in the beginning, it's like you got this concept that works. My partner, Matt, he had that first original store, which is still open today. One of the best performing stores we got in the system, 750 square foot store in Waterbury, Connecticut, met its productive capacity right away. You know, and most restaurants are going out of business, you know, after 6 months. Like, we were already at productive capacity. So the light bulb goes off. Obviously, we're onto something here, right? So then it was figuring out, well, how do we grow? Do we grow through licensing? We tried a whole bunch of things, and we landed on franchising as the way to do it. And we made the investment to kind of kickstart the franchising arm of Wing It On, which, you know, anybody who knows and goes through that can see it's like as you know, you're managing your restaurants, but you're also managing your franchising business. It's like you instantly tear yourself into two different people and have to keep wearing two different hats all the time. Yep. More, because there's so many different roles that have to be played. And it was just my partner, Matt, and I, plus a couple operations guys that were really with us from the start. So that, I think, was an exciting time for us because we knew, you know, we had an amazing product. We knew we had an amazing brand. The name Wing It On and the way it came, we came up with it was just like a stroke of genius, like lightning in a bottle. Yep. We loved it. And our branding, we had like the right elements, the right colors, the right scheme, the right look and feel to kind of appear as if we were multi-unit, even though it was just a couple of stores at the time.
Yeah.
So we were, you know, laying the groundwork for a successful, you know, franchising go. But nobody prepares you for the challenges, right?
Yeah, I heard that a lot of times, and it turns out it is extremely true. So now you're franchising. It's super exciting because there's two things, right? It's like, one, I'm going to build my brand and my income and net worth and all that. And then two, I'm helping other people build their net worth and get into business a lot of times, you know, for the first time. People that maybe do want to own a business, but they don't know how to do marketing. Or maybe they know marketing, but they don't know how to make wing sauces, right? So then it's like, cool, here's a cool franchise concept. And speaking on that, there's, you guys have 11 locations. So there, it's a small, newer brand, and there's pros and there's cons to that. But it's also under the Craveworthy portfolio company. Craveworthy is owned by Greg Majewski, who is the CEO of Jimmy John's during their rapid growth. And everybody knows Jimmy John's is one of the, if not the best performing restaurant franchise in the last several decades. So walk me through that. What are the pros and cons for Wing It On as a small brand? And what are you also adding by being a Craveworthy brand?
So right off the bat, like prior to Craveworthy, we had the product, we had the operations manuals, we had everything kind of locked down and built to where we thought, wow, we really got this going well. Like we had, you know, a bunch of franchisees that we had signed that were all like, you know, indoctrinated into the Wing It On way. But we knew that if we wanted to grow, like it's going to have to take a little bit more than just Matt, Justin, and a couple of guys that are really into, you know, helping support our operations. So we were like, you know, trying to figure out, like, you know, we made it through COVID, but we saw like the writing on the wall, like now is the time to get some investment partners if we really wanted to kick this up a notch and be able to expand our franchising, to bring our product to more folks who want to do this for a living, you know? So enter Greg Majewski. So now it's not just Matt and Justin, it's Matt, Justin, and Greg Majewski. And by the way, his leadership team, which are all seasoned professionals in many different aspects of running restaurants, marketing, training, finance, supply chain, culinary. So we had that instant boost of just talent that emerging brands are just not going to be able to get on their own. It's just the way that it is. So,
and a lot of people are they like emerging brands because you have a blank space for territory, right? We know that if you grab a McDonald's and you put it in a town with nobody in it, right? Or any really successful brand, like if you don't have the right market, you just, it's an uphill climb. So a lot of people are attracted to new and emerging brands because they get first pick at the market. And it's such a small brand that's like, call up the owner anytime, you know, like, They're answering. It's not some big corporate mumbo jumbo. They have to go through five different layers. Now, the downsides, though, is it's a new and emerging brand. How long have these guys been doing it for? You know, what's their expertise? Do they know how to run a business when we hit 20 locations, 50 locations, 200 locations, right? And then I think that's where a lot of that is mitigated with Craveworthy. It's like, no, they know how to run 1,000 restaurants. Like they can kind of hold everybody's hand on the way there while you're still getting kind of that one-on-one hand-holding that new franchisees and a new and emerging brand are typically expecting.
Yes, you're hitting on something really important. And I think that I don't want that to get lost on the audience. It's like, you can't normally have it all. Like if you're going to pick an emerging brand, you're doing it because of the wow factor of the brand and it's a low cost to get into, right? And the tremendous, you know, upside, the potential that's there, right? But you're, to your point, you're going to see early on that, you know, if it's just two guys trying to, you know, figure this out, you know, you're going to come up against operational restraints. You're going to come up against, you know, support issues, right? We are keeping true to the emerging brand, you know, wow factor, the emerging brand vibe, the ability to, you know, to your point, just give us a call. Like, you have our phone numbers. You can give us a call and talk to us anytime. But you're also getting, you know, the ability to have a whole team of people swoop in and help you when you need it. And that doesn't just come from, you know, Greg Majewski and his team. It's also like all of our vendors, right? So you need help with prices for, you know, third-party delivery contracts, no problem. We're going to swoop in and make sure you're getting the best possible rates. You know,
and let me cut you off on that one, because I didn't know this until I got in the industry, but typically you're getting charged 25 to 30%, whatever goes out the door on Uber Eats or DoorDash, Grubhub's closer to 20, unless you're a national brand, or unless your parent company is a national brand or part of national brands. When Dirty Dough became a Crave-worthy brand, we went from 25% fees for those third parties down to 18. It's like, okay, going from 25 to 18, you're saving 7% off of 20. You're like, holy crap, that's a 30% cost reduction. And we saw a lot of those on the Dirty Dough side, being part of, I guess, that larger portfolio. And then you also mentioned pricing. Like, pricing, I saw this with Crumble. You could open up a Crumble for a few hundred grand at the beginning. Then after 2 years, it was like 700,000-800,000. You're like, what are you guys doing? Why are you spending so much money? But that's just, they're like, we can, because we're big. We're at 1,000 locations. Do what we want, or you kind of walk, right? Talking about the initial investment, and if you don't mind, focusing on risk profile, risk factor in opening a business, right? What are my risks? What are my capital outlays? How much does it cost to open up a Wing It On?
So if you're, you know, getting into this for the first time, you're going to want to know, like, what's the range of investment? And because of the fact that, you know, there's not much to our restaurants, right? They're very easy to open. You know, you could open up a Wing It On starting at around $200,000 if you found, for example, a second gen restaurant, you know, meaning there's a lot of flexibility in your real estate selection. You know, we're not forcing you into these big high priced end caps where you have to, you know, put in all this money into decor plans. The biggest thing that we want to make sure that you have is obviously the right equipment that's going to help ensure that the product quality is there. But you don't need big dining rooms. You know, it's, we're 90% takeout. So if most of that is going to be either through delivery or just to go pickup orders, there's really no need to have, you know, A++ locations. So that's a great thing to know when you're first getting into it. Cause it's like, well, you know, maybe this is a little bit too much for me to take on right now. We want people to know, no, it's not. It's actually very flexible. Not only can you do this for less than maybe you had thought, but you also get, again, us holding your hand along the way to say, hey, we're going to help you find that location. We're going to give you the insights you need to know to understand, like, what's the market potential in those locations. And there's just a tremendous white space for our brand. We have 11 locations, like you said. That's not a lot of locations. So we're, chances are, if you have a target territory in mind that you think is going to crush it, it's an open territory. And we can talk about placing a Wing It On there.
Which, you know, is baffling that you guys won the number one wing sauce. Because usually you think of like a huge brand, you know. And you're like, wait, so Wing It On, you have the credibility on the wings and the flavors, but you're still a wide open blank space territory. That's kind of cool. And then on the financing, or sorry, on the funding side, SBA loans obviously are huge for first-time franchises, especially in the food space. You hit on not getting the end caps and all of that. 90% takeout, right? So that's why you don't need a drive-through that you're paying $8,000 a month for 2,000 square feet. What is the square footage that you're typically looking for? And then was the 90% takeout more or less accurate?
Yeah, I mean, the square footage is 1,200 to 1,400 square feet, maybe up to 1,600 square feet. You know, you're going to want to have some parking because, again, Uber Eats, DoorDash, Grubhub drivers, like, they're going to want to know that it's pretty convenient. But that goes for guests as well. You know, guests are going to want to know that they can get in, get out, get their food, and bring it back home to watch the game. Nobody wants to bring home cold, soggy wings because they're driving around looking for parking, you know. So I think that, you know, with that real estate, it opens up a lot of possibilities. And I think that, you know, if you have a solid real estate broker that you're working with and you have us adding the input that you need, you know, we'll help you find your location quickly.
So we have, I'm going to have to edit that one out because I'm like, what am I going to say? So we have an investment range of 200,000 to 400, 450 kind of on the higher end. What are the top stores doing as far as revenue goes?
The top stores right now, again, just a caveat, we don't have a big sample size, but the top stores that are some of the operators that are recently in our system are knocking on the door of $1 million in gross sales. And, you know, sky is the limit from there, really. I mean, because we have such a white space, there's so much opportunity for us to place stores in so many other markets across the country that, you know, fit our customer profile. For folks who love wings, you know, I mean, who doesn't love wings on football Sunday? Who doesn't love wings on, you know, football Saturday? You know, I mean, it's just a tremendous opportunity for somebody who really is passionate about, you know, hospitality, bringing a cool concept to their market and having and owning a business that's just fun, you know, fun to operate, fun to own. You know, the culture around wing culture is amazing. And I always get excited when I share that with folks, because I know, like, if you're here, you're talking to us, it's because you had that idea that you thought wings could be cool. And we want to tell you that you were right. You know?
Yeah.
So
wings are cool. I'm going to pause real quick because we're at 21 minutes. I think we started a minute or two after, some 19 minutes. I'm at five out of, I'm only at eight questions. I forgot we took out so many. Never mind. We're doing perfect on timing then. Okay, sweet. A little bit more strategy side. Franchise support. That's the next question, is franchise support, comprehensive training, ongoing business. Do we want to ask that question? Do you want me to ask that question so you can cater, like, we're going to handhold you, or do you feel like you've touched on it enough?
Ask it.
Hey. Shit. I don't know what the last thing that you said for a good transition. Do you remember what you said last?
It's fun. Owning wing shops are fun.
Owning food businesses is fun. I loved owning cookies because you just show up anywhere and everybody's like, yeah, I'll talk to you if you give me a freaking warm cookie. So I can't imagine it with wings, because then you don't get looked down on for giving them diabetes. You know, you're showing up with some protein. moving on to the franchise support. Talk to me about that. Like, if I'm starting a wing business by myself, let's say I have the brand, I'm not going to open up a franchise, but I have the brand, I have the recipes, I have the sauces and all of that. Why would I still want to go with a franchise rather than doing it by myself as far as the support goes?
I mean, there's a ton of reasons why franchising is the way to go. If you're an entrepreneur, you want to own a business, but you want to kind of cut through or speed past all of the toiling with recipes and operations and figuring out how to optimize your kitchens and all that. Like, Wing It On has the tried and true operation plan ready to hand over to you. But you don't have to just get a manual and try to figure out how to set it all up. You know, that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to set you up for success. And that means from day one, obviously indoctrinating you into our culture, our vibe. Like, we want you to become part of the family. So right off the bat, it's, you know, introductions to our team, you know, getting comfortable with everybody you'll be working with. Obviously, Matt and Sarah and I having, you know, giving you direct access to us. But we're going to kick off your site selection. We're going to help you find the right spot. We're going to give you the store design guides. We're going to help, help you negotiate the LOI and your lease. We're going to help, obviously, train you with that first week at our corporate location to really dive deep in the operations and how it all works. And we cover more than just, you know, the cash register and cooking the food. It's even, you know, understanding how we market, you know, understanding, you know, what the grand opening plan should look like, understanding, you know, who the different vendors are for different support that you need, whether it's point of sale, third party delivery, or mobile app or online ordering.
All the million things that you don't think about.
Yeah, all the things that, like, you know, oh yeah, after you sign that franchise agreement, like, oh, this is real, like, this is a real business in a box, and you're unpacking it and you're seeing all the parts to it, and we're going to help you make sense of it all.
So you don't, but open after up that, your location.
Oh, sorry. What's that?
So you don't open up your location and you're not on Google Business and you're not on Apple Maps and you're, I mean, all of that happens because you're like, wait, I didn't know that took 3 weeks for them to send me a stupid little letter and I have to get it and send it. You know, like, that's where it's like, if you don't know, you just don't know, which is so cool jumping into a system that they've done a lot of that. Can you hold your hand
every step of the way till you get open and beyond. So
tell me about how you're marketing for the franchisees. Specifically local store marketing. We know that as new and emerging brands, you know, you don't want to spend money on commercials or billboards, which is really beneficial to franchisee because that means it's going to their local store marketing. What are you guys doing to support local store marketing?
Local store marketing really starts with what's going on in the four walls. And we try to preach this to everybody. Like, you're getting your operations right. You're getting your people trained right to make sure, like, that guest experience is paramount. That we're never dropping the ball when it comes to amazing wings, you know, that alone does so much for your local marketing because you're actually making sure you can deliver on the promise. And before you go broadcasting what your promise is going to be of amazing wings, you're practicing and making sure that you got everything down to a science, right? Day in and day out. Once that's done, then you move on from the four walls to the four blocks. And from the four blocks, you're really doing a lot of local marketing. Maybe it's, door hangers, flyers, promotions. You're bringing samples to first responders, hospitals, schools, hotels, whatever it may be, getting the product into people's mouths so that they try it and they know that you're there. You know, after that, then you can go into what we would call the 4 mile phase. The 4 mile phase is you're doing a little bit more advertising to find new guests. You know, you're doing geofenced digital advertising. You're doing, you know, some direct mail. You're doing maybe some, connected TV ads, you know, on, on YouTube, anything to kind of bolster awareness a little bit. But the other piece to it too is third party delivery is a huge advertising channel as well. So that's considered a local marketing tactic as well. Getting advertising and doing promotions on DoorDash, Uber Eats, and Grubhub, again, to incentivize people to try you for the first time. All those working in concert, including social media, loyalty, emails, and all that, is really like an amazing marketing engine that kind of bolsters awareness and keeps people who have tried you to come back for multiple visits.
I buy a Wing It On franchise. I open up. You just listed all those cool marketing ideas. What's my responsibility versus your responsibility? And, you know, a handful of those different marketing tactics.
So your responsibility is, you know, anything that has to do with canvassing your territory, getting door hangers out there, you know, making the inroads with the schools, the community.
Have door hangers already for
you
me?
You can get all the material you need right from our portals. Like, everything's available for you to get. Like, every tool you need is in your quiver. You just have to reach for it.
Okay, so it's, here's all the tools, here's all the SOPs, and here's all the graphics on what you need to print in order to follow the SOPs. And if you need help, here's our marketing guy. And if you need help, here's Justin.
I'm or throwing here's you access there, to man. Our graphic design team that could help, you know, create more stuff if you need it.
Yeah.
But essentially, right off the bat, you want to have a successful grand opening. And that's just going to have to be, like, you know, again, paying attention to the four walls, then going into the four blocks and into the 4 miles.
Grand openings are so fun. They're so exciting to just, like, man, we're opening up, we're feeding the community, at least for me. I really like that. What's been one of the most enjoyable part of owning a wing business, you know, outside of the finances and the working side, but just being in this industry?
When you're in the hospitality industry, like, you're in it for a reason. Like, this is the stuff that brings you joy every day, you know, because think about it. It's a community, right? You got your guests, you have employees, you know, you have your managers, right? They're all stakeholders in this. So having the ability to put smiles on people's faces, you know, whether it be consistently getting them those amazing wings that they need for their next tailgating party, or, you know, employing people and making, keeping them happy and keeping them satisfied with what they're doing and on the mission, right? It's gratifying work. Mm-hmm. Very much so. It's enjoyable. It's fun to wake up every day and do this. And when we get candidates who I know I see that in them, like I get so excited because I know like all the stars are aligning for success, you know, and that's what we're looking like, for.
When the satisfaction you get from having someone consume your product and like, oh, this is good. You know, it's awesome. And then bringing, I can't imagine Super Bowl comes around. You could get invited to any Super Bowl party without an invite. You just show up with wings.
Can you imagine just being like the wing king in your area? You're the Wing It On owner in your area. You're instantly got like wing king status. Like everybody's going to be coming to you with either questions on how to get wings. How did you make these wings? Oh, can I get the wings from you? And you say, yep. Uh-huh. Like just be a beacon for, you know, wing enthusiasts in your area. Like it's just an amazing feeling.
The local wing king. I like that. But the downside is you do have to be picky with your friends because you're going to start getting used for your wings. But I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, it's a good problem to have.
Talk to me about the lifestyle. Why does somebody want to own a business? It doesn't have to be Wing It On, but business sucks. I mean, it's hard. It's amazing. I love it. It's so rewarding, but it's also very hard. Why do people leave a corporate job? Why did you leave your corporate job to start a business? Again, just generally not wings.
Yeah, I think that I can speak to my own experiences, but I just felt like I wasn't reaching my true potential. You know, anybody could have a job. Yep. And you could work in corporate America and you could do what you need to do to get that paycheck and probably stay there for a really long time. And, you know, everything seems hunky dory, but I personally felt like, what are the actual skills and talents that I was given and how do I actually use those to actually build a life for myself? You know? And until you take the leap of faith to trust that your gut and trust that you actually have everything that you need to be able to live the life that you always wanted to live, you just have to have some guts and just go for it. You really don't know if you'll ever reach your potential. And I didn't want that feeling. I did not want to look back and regret and say, I could have tried it. Maybe I could have done it, but who knows? I took the safe road all the time. Nothing wrong with the safe road. I just personally thought like the safe road is never going to help you. You're never going to become battle tested and know what you're really made of.
So a lot of that, I mean, to me, that's like, who are you becoming? Not what you're doing, not how much money you make, not what your title is, but like what type of skills. And for a business owner, whether you're successful or not, your confidence levels are going to increase, communication ability, leadership, compassion, empathy, management. I mean, there's so many different things because it's just like, hey, you're everything now, right? And then, you come out the other side of what I said sucks and you're just like, holy crap, I feel, a little invincible, a little invincible right now because I've gone through all of this. And then that satisfaction also of just like, I am my own boss. You know, I can cancel this meeting if I need to cancel it. I can ask somebody else to do it. If, you know, I'm not going to miss soccer games. I'm not going to miss my kids' graduations. I'm not going to miss anything because I'm the boss and I ultimately am going to make that decision. Now, that doesn't mean that's what happens. I would say a lot of people still jump into the business and then forget why they jumped into the business, which is typically to free up time to then be with their loved ones. And then they sacrifice time with their loved ones. But if you do it right from the beginning, I think it makes for such a cool lifestyle and a cool family business. If anybody has kids, like if you ask my kids what they want to do, they're 5, 6, no, 7, 6, and 3. All three of them will say they want a Dirty Dough. They don't even know what a Dirty Dough is, you know? But they like cookies and they like the business kind of entrepreneurship. So I think there's a lot of that as well that people get in owning any type of business.
So it's not like it's not a 9-to-5. It's a lifestyle thing. Like you wake up in the morning and you have a day. How do you want to spend your time today? What fires do you want to put out? What time do you want to spend on yourself for inner reflection? Like you have the ability to decide what you do in a day. And if you added up all the hours that maybe you worked or thought about work, or it's probably a staggering amount of hours put into something, but it doesn't feel like work because you chose it based off of what you were passionate about. You're just living the life you want to live. It happens to be focusing on these things that you're really passionate about. Just as much as I'm passionate about my wife and my kids and my family and their health and their, you know, their goals and activities and whatever it may be. It's just part of life. It's not like segregated of like, oh, I'm at work now, but I'm untouchable. You can't bother me. And then when I come home, yeah, then I'm dad. It's just, I'm me. And I focus on everything. I have the ability to respond to everything that you know, I need to respond to.
Yeah.
It's a good sense of, you know, control of your life.
And with that, I think that a lot of people, like they obviously we want that control. But there's also that desire, longing for to be part of something bigger, to give back, to help people, but we don't know how. And donating wings, cookies, whatever business you are in, to your kids' soccer games feels amazing. You're like, you know, I'll bring the treats every week. You know, like I love bringing the treats. To this day, you know, 3 years in, I've never turned down the opportunity to sponsor a nonprofit and, you know, just giving them cookies for free. Anybody reaches out, if it's a nonprofit, doesn't matter how many cookies, whatever, it's just, yes, we'll make it work. And that is really cool to be able to, like, somebody reaches, can you support my son in his football program? It's like, no, I work for an insurance company. There's not, you know, like, I don't really want to pay money out of my pocket. Oh, but my business, yeah, we'll give you a few $100 for a banner if you'll advertise, and then we can maybe sell our product at the games or do boosters. I mean, there's so many different cool things that you can do in the community. Love to hear, is there anything that stands out to you, or what have you enjoyed about the community aspect from business ownership?
Well, I think that there's no shortage of opportunities, to your point, to give back. I think that, you know, it really helps when you can really get behind a couple of them and sort of make it your mission. You know, I think that's what Wing It On did early on with the Suzy Foundation. So our operator in our original store, Diane Ancero, she is still to this day adamant about supporting the Suzy Foundation because we had been supporting them since day one. Ryan Matthews, who's mom was Suzy. She passed away early, much earlier than he would have wanted her to pass away, because of complications with ALS. And the Suzy Foundation helps support families who have loved ones with ALS to give them the tools, the resources, the grants, et cetera, to help them care for the patient better. And I think that having, and Ryan actually, he was a cook at the first Wing It On. So there's like, again, it goes back to community. People you know, people you meet, people you come across end up doing these amazing things and need help to be catapulted. And if you have the ability to do it, you know? So that's what I've taken away of it. Like we think we can't respond to everything, but we do have the ability to really make an impact if you just choose to.
Just get out there and start, you know, start trying. So with that, who makes a good candidate for a Wing It On franchise, and who doesn't?
Yeah, I think for us and where we're at, like we are at a really critical spot in our growth. You know, we have 11 locations. We've partnered with Craveworthy Brands, so we have tremendous resources behind us to help plan our growth and where we want to grow. The only and right size anything in our operations. And so we mentioned the logo, right? So this is one thing that Craveworthy did. They helped us kind of think through our decor plan, our logo, our branding, just to make it like lights out, amazing, multi-unit level, ready to rock and roll, right? That was one of the earlier things that we did. All these things fell into place. So now we're just ready to step on the rocket boosters for Wing It On. Okay. And the only thing that we're missing is amazing operators who want to open up their stores in amazing locations, because there's tremendous white space. You name a location you think a Wing It On would thrive in, and chances are it's an open territory and we can talk about placing a Wing It On there. But what we're looking for on the operator level are people with grit, people who understand this is business. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to happen overnight. They're grateful for the opportunity. They know that they have the operating plan, the manuals, and the team, and any tool or resources they need to help make it happen, but have that go-getter attitude to go out there and make it happen. So don't have that attitude, you don't have that perception. If you're just looking for it to be just a passive invest kind of, you know, opportunity, probably not the right candidate for us.
There's a book called The 10X Rule. I'm going to scale it down to the 2.5X rule. And it's anything in business, probably in life, is going to take 2.5 times longer than what you thought, you know, or 2.5 times more expensive. And there's just all these issues that come up, which come up every single day in everybody's life. So it's, but yet we're still surprised sometimes. Anyways, so if I'm hearing you correctly, it's the people that realize that and are going to push through it anyway. There's unexpected challenges, creative problem solving, working with the Wing It On and the Craveworthy team in order to just keep going, just keep going, just keep going, try the next idea. And I guess stay on top of the innovation and the creativity side.
We are the creators of our world. So yeah, if you stick with it, it will happen for you. You know, the model is perfected. We understand what it is. Pro formas, there is profitability built in. All we need now is obviously, you know, operators in the right markets applying that model to their areas with all the tools and resources that we have available. You know, we have a franchisee outside of Raleigh, North Carolina, who looked at all the different wing brands and said, I got to pick the right one for me, and fell in love with Wing It On because of the branding, because of the menu, because of that authenticity in the flavor profiles, but also because of Matt and Justin and the responsiveness, yeah, and the tools and everything that is available to them, and just made him feel like this was overwhelming, the right choice for him. And we want to recreate that with everybody because we know we can, mm-hmm, do it.
Yeah. Risk mitigation. I want to talk about that one more time as we come to a close. Two ways to mitigate your risk as a business owner, right? You want to lower your costs and your fixed expenses, getting a smaller square footage, things like that. But you also want to increase your revenue. Craveworthy Brands is doing something pretty cool with virtual brands. Again, I don't want to get into it too much, but I have a Wing It On. I already have fryers. I have oils. I have what I need. How do I maximize the dollar per square foot with the existing employee square footage and equipment that I have? Give me a little teaser on what Craveworthy is doing there.
So this is a perfect example of why being within the Craveworthy system just blows away opportunities with other brands, right? You have an amazing culinary team, right, who's able to, on a fly, can create brands, can create menus, can source all the food, you know, from the suppliers at the best possible discounts that you could never have been able to do on your own, right? So they take that knowledge and they invent virtual brands, which I, as an owner of a Wing It On, could sell my wings, could cook my wings, could do everything I need to do to produce the product that I'm promising, but I can also use the same equipment, the same labor, the same tech stack to leverage or launch a separate brand, a virtual brand that's not just living on third-party platforms, but also lives in my restaurant too. You know, it's called the Nomad Dog brand. It's a world influenced hot dog brand that is using everything the same to create, except a few different SKUs and some different packaging to be able to deliver either third party or even direct through our online or mobile order channels. So it's like a virtual brand, but also a co-branding opportunity to boost your top line sales. It's an amazing opportunity. And I'd be happy to talk about it more with folks if they wanted to see what that was all about.
And Nomad Dogs is just one of the options. There's other pieces of equipment that you can add different types of brands, whether it's two franchise concepts kind of side by side or one franchise concept like a Wing It On plus another exists, you know, you're already ordering from Sysco, just order another SKU item, throw that sucker in the same fryer with your same employee and your same point of sale system and get an extra $20 every hour. Well, you know what I mean? It adds up and it makes a big difference, especially because your fixed costs are already covered, which I think is so important.
Yeah. So right now it's Nomad Dogs, but there are more brands in development that could easily be just layered right on top. Like, we have the playbook rocking and rolling. It's just all about, you know, perfecting the menus and getting some buy-in, and you could have multiple brands.
Yeah. Well, what's the vision for Wing It On? And you got Wingstop. They're giant. They're pretty much sold out of territory. Who's the number two?
Well, if you ask me, nobody's going to make a better number two than Wing It On.
It's a really cool opportunity right now. That's like, there's a number one player, and there's wide open space for the number two
player. Wide open space. There's a number of brands in the running, but none of them have the backing of Craverly Brands. None of them have the leadership of Greg Majewski. So, yes, there is no number two wing joint in the country yet, and Wing It On is going to be the number two within the next few years. And the reasons are clear. I mean, no other fast casual wing joint has the claim of having America's best buffalo wings like we do. 3 years in a row, taking home that trophy at the mecca of the wing, the biggest wing fest in the world, arguably. No other wing brand has Craverly Brands and the leadership of Greg Majewski, you know, the former CEO of Jimmy John's, and his leadership team helping to swoop in and solve the major issues that most restaurants have, you know, to be able to help us scale. And, you know, the third thing is, like, there's just, you name a territory with, you know, population density where you think a Wing It On could thrive, chances are it's an open territory and we could talk about putting a Wing It On there. So that scalability factor is just there. The brand wow factor is there. The brand story is there. We have what it takes to really potentially capture, you know, the hearts and eyeballs of wing nuts across the country. And that's what we're looking to do over the next couple of years. And we're excited.
And stomachs. Can't forget and stomachs. Well, Justin, this was awesome. Thank you for jumping on and sharing the Wing It On story as well as your background. Where can our listeners connect with you?
So obviously you could check out more about our brand at wingiton.com. You could click on the franchising tab if you wanted to get in touch with the franchise development team. If you wanted to connect with me, I'm mainly on LinkedIn. You could find me on LinkedIn, Justin Egan. Just type that in the search bar. You could find me on Instagram at J-U-T-T-E-M. You could find me on Twitter at JustInnovate. That's where I hang out most of the time, so I'm sure you could find me.
Hey, awesome. Justin, thanks for jumping on.
Thanks, Bennett. Had a blast.